Blog Talk Radio.
He was looking for superpowers. He meant for us to become superpowers of the kingdom. More than conquerors means
you don't have the power. You can turn pain into power.
Good morning. We are back on the live prayer call with the Apostle Dr. Paula Price. She has come back to us. Actually, we've all come back with her from the wonderful island of Curaçao in the Caribbean. I tell you what, for those of you who are able to connect on the internet and listen to Dr. Price on the radio last week, she was broadcasting literally all over the world, in the Netherlands, in the U.S., in Malaysia, and other parts of the world. People were listening in, getting that wisdom, able to ask their questions and get answers about their salvation, their redemption. Someone asked a question about the importance of having a covering. All kinds of things were happening. But now she is back in Tulsa, even if just for a moment, to be on this call with you. She has missed you greatly. I'm not going to belabor the moment because I know she has something to say. So without further ado, Dr. Price, are you there?
I am here. I am not only here, I am excited to be back. I have to tell you, Curaçao was amazing. I enjoyed it immensely. I enjoyed the island, the people, sweetest people, loved the Lord. And we had a blast. But I've got to be honest with you guys, I miss you all. I missed my Thursday call. I missed your voices. I missed your spirit and the presence of you. Always know that this is more than just a, you know, faceless experience for me. Each and every one of you are precious, and you are in my soul. So, and I thought about you, and I prayed while I was gone. And I'll tell you what, if Ashley tells you the truth, she'll tell you that I tried my best to be on the call with you all last week. I was trying to work it out, but technology is not always the same everywhere. So I wasn't able to do it. But I wanted you to know that I miss you greatly. I want to pray because I'm back, and I just feel the Lord said put a prayer out today. So I want to pray, and then I want to just talk briefly about some discoveries that I've had, prophetic and apostolic discoveries. Very brief because I want to get to the call. Father, thank you so much for my Thursday prayer power family. I thank you for them. I thank you for their faithfulness, their commitment, God, and their trust. Lord, that you have caused them to trust in me for your word and your wisdom. Lord, I'm asking that you would bless them. Bless this call today. Do the amazing. Continue the amazing streak that you've been on, the amazing vein that you've been in, even throughout our trip in Curaçao. Lord, I'm asking that every prayer that you want answered is answered with your wisdom. Lord, let nothing come out of my mouth that is not representative of you, that is distorting of your spirit. God, I'm asking you for your precision and your accuracy as I delve into the archives of these people's book of life. And I praise you for giving me access to do so, and I praise you for even your trust. And Lord, bless each and every one, those that I don't get to today, bless them, Father God, and let them know the answer is still coming, and we're going to make this happen some way, somehow. So I thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, we yield it to you. Have it your way. For your testimony is indeed the spirit of prophecy. So I bless you, Father God, for your son. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to say a couple of things today. The first thing I wanted to say is that I'm really praying about expanding our Thursday. We might have an opportunity to increase it beyond the hour. You guys let me know how you feel about that, because I'm a woman of order, but I also am a woman of institution. I don't start anything that can't perpetuate. And so I don't really start on whims and fads. I start on purpose because I know that I'm achieving something. But I want to be able to touch more of you. That's been in my heart. So I'm praying about that. That's a big deal. I want to say before we get real deep, don't forget June is coming. I want to meet all of you at my forum. It is exciting. If you go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, you'll read all about it, find out how to get here. But I want you to come. Why? Because there is something prophetically different happening in the Lord's spirit and in the kingdom this year, not just because of that forum, but it's a place for us to confer and to collaborate on it. Our event is not like the typical ones where we just have a parade of speakers. It is not. It's a working event. It's a working venue. And it is for those who are genuinely called to prophetic, not just prophets, but called to the prophetic mind and the prophetic vein of God. So I definitely want to invite you to come. If you've not gotten your tickets, get your tickets, call the hotel. All of that information is on the website. But I want you to hear me. The prophetic is never going to be as it was before again, and you need to know how it's going to be from this day forward. So I wanted to say that to you. And again, thank you all for joining me every single week. Know that I don't stop praying for you when the call ends. That's why you were in my heart, even during my trip in out of the country. There is something that God wants to talk about. I want to talk about wisdom. You know, throughout the Bible, God uses the word wisdom, I can't even tell you, dozens and dozens and dozens of times. And yet, that's what's lacking most. And the two offices that God imbued with his wisdom more than any other are the office of the apostle and the office of the prophet. Both of those are more saturated with the wisdom of God than any other. And, you know, everything about the scriptures is wisdom. Everything that comes out of God's mouth is wisdom. Because the proverb says wisdom is the principal thing. Not just the founding principle, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-L-E, because we want to confuse him, but he really means the chief thing, P-R-I-N-C-I-P-A-L. The chief thing, the highest thing, the foremost thing, the guarding and guiding principle. And so, wisdom does not always come through preaching and teaching as we want, but wisdom will always come from God. We have the spirit of wisdom, which is the Holy Spirit. God is the God of wisdom. And the thing about the prophetic and the apostolic, that we both need to know, Jesus came as the great prophet that Moses foretold, and we find out in Hebrews as the great apostle. So what did he have? What did he bring that had been lacking? And what causes us to lapse into darkness in the house of God, in the church? Here's something I want you to check. If you're taking notes, write down Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. These verses are what helped me shape and conform my calling, my office, and its mantleship to the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to find out what is it that they brought to the planet, what is it that they delivered to us on earth that just wasn't commonplace. It just didn't come natural. Wisdom does not come natural. The potential for wisdom is in all of us, but itself, it doesn't come natural. So here's something that I want to read to you. And there shall come forth a rod out from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The first thing is the spirit of wisdom. So it says the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked, and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins, or belt. Now, I want to go back to just this point, because it's important that you understand that this is literally the classification of prophetic apostleship and their ministries. You will recognize the genuine prophets and apostles of Christ come with a peculiar wisdom concerning him. They have a peculiar understanding of him. uniquely, they get God's mind. They get God. God is not a burden. He's not somebody for them to avoid. He's not something for them to circumvent. He's not something for them to downplay. These people, many of you are on the line today, these people get God in a way that most folks miss him. They understand his wisdom, and in doing so, his rationale, his motivation, his instincts. It's not enough to say, well, we know God's character. That's great, but how does that character behave in this natural world? And how are we to help people recognize it? And so wisdom, principle thing, the Luke 11:49 says that wisdom calls apostles and prophets. Wisdom is what characterizes, not just the word. Teachers are going to talk about the word because that's that didactic piece. It's going to teach, and it's going to teach and educate, and we need it. Pastors and evangelists are going to talk about the word through the sermon. They're going to preach it. They're going to make sure that you're inspired, that you're fired up, that you're good to go, that you're motivated and encouraged and exhorted. That's great. Nobody's taking anything from it. But all of that has to rest on the foundation of the wisdom of God. And so my last thought on this, I want you all to spend a little time this week going through these passages, Isaiah 11:1-5. Go through them and understand that what it is that you're craving from God. The thing is, you're like, I know the scriptures. I know the word. I've got more tapes and CDs and books than anybody would even imagine. I've read them all. I've got them highlighted and painted. I've got all of this going on, and still I can't get God. Why can't I get it? Because God's first thing is wisdom. Wisdom will tell you not what's going on. Rather, I'll phrase it like this. Wisdom will not only communicate to you what's going on, but it will tell you why it's happening, and it will tell you what to do about it, and then it'll tell you how to benefit, how to act on it. And anything that doesn't take it all the way to the end is just information. Transformation comes from wisdom. Education comes from information. If we give you enough education, you're going to be informed. But when you understand how to act on it, to cause that education to take on hands, feet, and life in your world and perform effectively, now we're talking transformation. And that process is called wisdom. Wisdom at work in you. And that is what prophets and apostles brought to the earth. That is what they're supposed to bring to the earth, the wisdom of the unseen ages that predated our existence and that will wrap up this world in the ages to come. So I wanted to share that with you so you know if you're called to the prophetic, if you're called apostolic, don't just be comfortable about getting a word from God. I mean, come on, we get public service announcements all the time, but can you fulfill Isaiah 11:2-3? Can you exhibit the spirit of wisdom and understanding? Can you deliver through the spirit of counsel and might? Can you let us know what the spirit of knowledge is and looks like and sounds like? And can all of that be wrapped up in the package call, in the filter? I will say package, but I'm going to say filter, in the filter called the fear of the Lord. That is my exhortation to you this week. Always like to give you a little something to think about. I am now ready to take off.
Not so fast now. You can't just run through something like that. And it was... That was really good. I like how you talked. You broke that down. You even did a little fivefold in a nutshell. I hope everybody heard that. She did a little fivefold lesson in a nutshell on what to expect out of those offices. But I think the bottom line that you brought it all together was when you talked about wisdom transforming and how something like wisdom, like the prophetic, we often feel is very immeasurable. You can't measure it, so you can't tell because you can't see it. But what you can see are the effects. And I appreciate you for saying that. So now we know we can look at our own lives and see either the implementation of wisdom or the lack thereof by the results that we're getting. A lot
Amen.
Of things we want to say are the devil, and actually it may just be a lack of wisdom.
Amen. And here's my hope. My hope and passion is to be able to deliver a wisdom course that I've been working on for 10 years. And I realize it took me that long because now I realize it has to be pointed and shaped toward apostleship and the prophetic. because that's where it begins. That's what we're to dispense. We want to know what's wrong with the church. Where is the church? Because the church is full of word, it's full of works, it's full of the witness of Christ, but it has no wisdom, does not know what to do with this all-powerful thing that's been entrusted to it. Now, did I do well or what?
Well, yes, that's wonderful. Now you may pray. Okay.
Okay. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. First on the line is Lisa. She is calling for prayer for direction. Now, she has a lot of things going on, Dr. Price, in her situation. And so because of the nature of it, she's going to use a lot of discretion in how she phrases things because of the privacy issues of some things that she's working through. So, Lisa, this is Dr. Price. You are live on the call.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Price. It's been a while since I've been on the prayer line.
How long has it been? What, 2 months, 3 months?
No, longer than that.
Oh, okay. Now, where are you calling me from, Lisa?
Florida.
Florida, my warm spot.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And you were very accurate with what you had said to me before. I just didn't realize just how shifted my life was going to shift, and it shifted greatly.
Oh, okay. Well, it doesn't sound like you enjoyed the shift, so fill me in a little bit, at least briefly as you can and as pointed as you can.
No longer in the same church, and I'm not where I know the Lord wants me to be because I'm having issues with my husband. He doesn't want to transition to the new location yet. He thinks he just doesn't want it, and we're kind of in a place that I was birthed out of, but I know I don't fit, and I know my giftings and callings, I don't fit in this house. And I just want to get where I need to go. I'm doing what I can in the natural to try to work towards that area and that goal, but I want to fulfill what God wants for me, and I'm dreaming so much and seeing so much in my dreams. I need understanding. I need God's wisdom to understand what it is that I'm seeing and what I need to do to correct or to change. I just want to fulfill what he called me to do. I don't want to miss him.
Well, you know, you won't miss him. Obviously, God is intensifying your prophetic aptitudes, certainly your prophetic exposure. I'll say it like that. He's obviously doing that, and he's awakening you, and you're going through that, you know, through that Numbers 12:6 process where God is saying, okay, if there's a prophet among you, I'm going to make myself known to you. And he wants you to know him. He does. Anytime he's going to awaken you prophetically, you can rest assured God is going to be very dynamic in how he imposes himself on you. And if I'm hearing you correctly, it's almost like you can't get away from God. Like there's like not a moment silent in your world because he is calling you up to that place. So I well understand. And that's not to cast aspersions on any church or leader. You know, I often teach, just because you have finished with one grade doesn't mean that you have to bemoan or criticize the teacher because you're getting promoted. You know, you think about going to school in the natural. Only the little kids cry about having to leave their teacher behind. The other people, as you grow up and you mature, you get excited about your future. You get excited about the new levels of learning and the new friends you'll meet and the new opportunities that will greet you on the other side of your promotion. And what I hear is that God is definitely, definitely getting you ready for the other side. So that's a beautiful thing. But it is painful. Painful because promotion, no matter where it comes from, always means two things. It means joy for going forward, but there is a sadness at the severing that must take place. And apparently, in your case, that severing happened in your church. When you're frustrated, Lisa, is this. You cannot make your husband grasp your experiences, and you never will because they're not his, they're yours. He's not going to get it. He's not going to get it unless God tells him. And if God talks to him, then your husband will know that truly the Lord has laid his hands on you. In the Bible, they use that phrase a lot, the hand of the Lord came upon you. And so in your case, the hand of the Lord has come upon you. And when you're called to something different from your spouse, that is when we have to really be very strategic in answering our calls. And you are clearly called to, or either, you're either being called ahead of your spouse which I think is more the case, you've been called ahead of him, or you're called to something different from him, which is likely. I don't feel that. You're really being called ahead of him. And if your husband is a person that doesn't like change, period, and I suspect he doesn't, I think that in the church that you were in, he got accepted, and he found a place of acceptance and a place of value that he had not found anywhere else. And the risk of leaving that acceptance and that value to start all over again, to rebuild the same kind of trust and familiarity that he has there, is scary to him. And you have to understand that. It's just scary. But hear what I'm saying. It is not, there is nothing wrong with him staying there until God tells him. Your husband should not obey you. He should obey the Lord. And if the Lord hasn't spoken it to him, then that is what he must do. He must obey God, because that's something we don't teach in the church. We teach this automatic cookie-cutter marriage thing, this cookie-cutter Christianity. Everything in the church is cookie-cutter because it's easy. We don't have to evaluate. You don't need wisdom or discernment for cookie-cutter. You know, the cutter is going to cut, and every cookie is going to look the same. But you do need it when it comes time for things to be diverse and for God to vary routines. And so in your case, the Lord is varying routine. Number one, your husband belongs to God. You didn't save him. God did. That's God's son. And the Lord loves him and loves him immensely. But the second part of this is whether or not you have the fortitude to do what's the number one thing that prophets are required to do, and that is face off with difficulty and opposition. And so we will all have tests. You know, Jesus came along and said, you follow me, you follow me, you follow me, you follow me. And you know what? Not everybody did, because people had family bonds and work bonds, and they had money bonds. You know, I got my mother and father thing. But when God puts his hand on you and it's genuine, you have a bit of sweet experience, the sweetness of his hand and the bitterness of what it's going to cost. And I'll be honest with you, to whom much is given, much is required. So the Lord is testing you as well as him. You can endorse your husband and celebrate him, and you can still submit to the orientation program that you're about to go through as a prophet. And I'm going to tell you, having walked in your shoes, being a wife doing both is the hardest thing you'll ever have to do. It is hard. I'm not going to kid you. I would love to tell you all of this, faith, whatever, but that would be unwise. It is very difficult. You will hear people say, where are the scriptural references? Well, I have a few, because, you know, I'm a woman of order and priority, and I'm a woman of propriety. I'm going to obey God, but I am a woman of propriety. So in this case, I had to find out, okay, God, I need you to help me. Well, we do have several of those. We have Huldah, who God just says, well, her husband worked in a wardrobe. When you study her life, that woman had a whole institution that God put in her hand. When you study Deborah, whole institution, whole kingdom, forget institution, put the kingdom in her hand. I mean, the woman had to be under the tree because they wasn't going to let her in the Capitol. But it didn't matter to God. God rolled with what was working for him. And when we are apostles and prophets, with the number one lesson we must learn is God has a right to call the shots. We are his people. We are the sheep of his pasture. So, yes, you're going to have to walk this walk, and you're going to have to be a good wife and a sweet wife. You're going to be extra attentive. You have to do all of those things and still walk that tightrope called obeying the word of the Lord. And it's doable. It's hard, but it's doable. And bottom line is love conquers all. You love your family and love your husband, but God never told us to love anybody more than him. So you're going to have to walk that tightrope walk between the love, your deep love for the two men in your life. And it's always going to be a tight walk. I promise you, until God speaks to him and brings him out, because he is going to come when it's his time. But there are some acceptance issues he's got to have. He does not do well with separation. He does not do well with abandonment. It just doesn't work for him. And so you're going to have to understand that, because guess what? If you don't have patience with him, you won't have patience with those that God entrusts to you in ministry. Now, you are going to need some training. I don't know if you took your assessment or not, but if you haven't, may I encourage you to do that. Take your assessment, and let's talk about getting you on a track. The second thing is, I don't know what church you're going to go to for a while. I think God is going to probably tell you to either stay where you are, which he's told you not to do, and he's going to put you in training for himself, because you're going to have to get in a prophetic environment. One of the things that I will tell anybody who is prophetic or apostolic, if you're not in the environment of your future mantle and destiny, it will dry up. It will die. So you, because prophets are symbiotic. They feed off each other's, you know, each other's energy, each other's mantle, each other's powers and words and experience with God, which is why when you see them in the Bible, 90% of the time they're in company or they're in groups. When he has a prophet alone, that's a different thing, and we'll talk about that in another call. But so you're going to need to do your assessment. You're also going to need to do your you're going to need to be prepared to be trained in another way. But the number one thing I want to tell you, Lisa, and that is, do not buy the lie. If your mantle is going to hold anything together, the first thing that's being tested to hold together is your marriage. And I believe it can happen. So, and it's a tough work, and we make it hard in the church. Outside of the church, people do this all the time. We got military, we got diplomats, we've got overseas this and overseas that. We've got these people do this all the time, and it works. It manages to work. And they don't have the bonding grace of the Holy Ghost and the approval of God to even help them, but they believe in that calling. So for you, now this is not for every woman. So I'm going to tell you right now, I don't have a cookie-cutter counsel for women. I don't have a cookie-cutter counsel for men or marriage. I have the spontaneous mind of Christ, the will of the Lord concerning you in this matter. So this is not anything we're going to turn around and sell some tapes, and this is going to be Paul Price's word on marriage infinitum. That is not going to happen. But for you, this is your word.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Price.
Does it make sense?
Yes, and I am in prophetic school at Jesus People Proclaim in Boca.
Then you have to finish your training.
I am.
And it's going to take a journey. And trust me, that's only step one of your training, because that's very fundamental for you. You're going to have to go the distance because of where you're going to go in the nations and where you're going to go in the kingdom. You're going to have to do it. But I'm going to tell you, and I mean it from my heart, I know people will tell you, you know, just ignore that man and all of that. I don't agree with that. If, you know, 1 Corinthians 7 says, if they're willing to dwell with you, dwell with them in peace and love. And you're going to have to learn to be the master at balancing difficult circumstances, because that's the fundamental nature of the prophetic, managing difficult circumstances, conflicting circumstances, things where you're going to have to mediate all the time. We are intermediaries. You're going to have to mediate all the time. But to
I do that.
I know.
That's my life. That's my life.
That's your life. Well, get used to it, because that's how it's going to be till you leave here. It's going to work that way. But here's the difference. You're going to get really good at it. Right now, everything hurts. You'll get to the point that what used to hurt becomes a help. And so you'll just rejoice in God. You're going to do okay. But trust me, you're going to do okay. But I want you to be, you're going to have to learn how to be the master female in this thing. And you're going to have to be the good wife to Christ and the good wife to your husband. And guess what? When you stop dreading it, it becomes a wonderful challenge and a great privilege and honor.
Amen.
Let me pray for you, okay?
Thank you.
Father God, thank you so much for who you are, God, in every area of our lives. We thank you that you are the God of the prophets. You're the God of the minister. You're our high priest, our faithful high priest, ever living to make intercession for us. God, I thank you that this balancing act that she's on will work out for your glory, and that you're going to give her tremendous skills, tremendous insights, and tremendous abilities as she walks through this day by day. God, give her the anointing to see clearly and fairly, to have balanced judgment, Lord, that she can judge every situation accurately and precisely according to your will and according to your word. God, cause her to be fearless in this call. I'm asking that you would outfit her with a healing grace, Lord, and let her know that what Satan means for evil, you have already decreed will turn out well. God, give her courage, give her conviction, but most of all, give her patience and grace. And Lord, I'm asking that you would give her a love for her husband and him a love for her that is going to supersede and outlast every trial. Cause them to be able to reconcile this season of their lives to the glory of God the Father. And God, I come against schism. I come against divisiveness. I tear down the bond of separation and division that Satan would want to to sow between them. And God, I cement them stronger. They don't have to do the same thing to love each other the same way. And God, I send forth this word that you have a right to call the shots and still make giants out of them as a couple. So God, we have an opportunity to see your handiwork. We have an opportunity to see your glory and to watch your strength. So I thank you, Lord. I submit this marriage to divine success in Jesus' name. Whether they are together every Sunday or not, a marriage is not based on 2 hours in church on a Sunday. A marriage is based on their commitment to each other, their love for each other, and the united destiny that you had in mind when you made them one. So God, I curse the doctrine that would destroy this union. I curse anything that would come against it, and I right now bless her obedience, bless his obedience, and cause them to be closer together through this variation. But it's interesting to have things diverse. We don't have to have the same conversation. And God, I bless this union to grow and flourish as they both obey you, that you would get two giants out of this, not two broken ones, not two half ones. And I give you the glory for it, Father. In Jesus' name, let it be so.
Thank you. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too. We'll be in touch with you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Who's next?
Well, amen. That was powerful. I think prophetic nugget to take from that, whether you're married or not, is the first test of your mantle is going to be to keep your relationship together.
Hallelujah.
I guess you really won't be qualified to keep the kingdom of God together if you can't keep your home together. So.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, and you know what, though? Actually, sometimes that's not all. Sometimes it has to sever. But in her case, it wasn't called to be.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Amen. All right. This is Christine from Pennsylvania. Her husband was in a near-fatal car accident in March. And she says she's been taking care of him, and the Lord has been taking care of her. And he has rehab and dental work coming around the corner, and she said she needs they need quick divine counsel. I think there are some important decisions they need to make within the next couple of days, and she doesn't want them to be motivated by emotion.
Oh, man, I know. Well, hello, Christine.
Hello, Dr. Price.
How are
thank
you doing?
Thank you so much for being available and obeying our Abba. I thank you so much.
Amen, amen. Now,
well, actually, what happened to my husband is a tree fell on him and knocked him off the tractor, and the angels of the true living God unhooked the chain, picked my husband up, and drove the tractor to my in-laws.
Wow.
So the Lord God spared his life. He's not dead, obviously. He's in front of me and laying in the hospital bed in our home, and actually in our ministry building. However, he's not paralyzed, and the C1 bilateral is broke and the C6-7 herniated. Other than that, there was not one bruise on this man's body from the shoulders down to his feet. And, you know, with the concussion, with broken teeth, we need glasses here. So I've been taking care of him. The Lord's been carrying me. There truly is one set of footprints in the sand, and they are not mine. But I feel kind of I'm tired. I'm tired, and I cannot make decisions. I am trying so carefully to hear the Holy Spirit and not my emotion and not the emotions of whisperings and murmurings from other family members. I need help. I need a registered nurse to come here. I've been doing this for about 9-10 days now in our ministry building, which is, you know, an awesome place. It's the only safe place we have to live. So without him being in a rehabilitation, I have to make decisions with my husband when he can speak, and I need a nurse in here to give me 2 to 4 hours a day, the right nurse, the right physical therapy, the right timing. I need divine precision.
Okay, so let me ask you, Christine, do you all have insurance?
Yes, we do. My husband has an excellent job, and we praise God for that. And he's been there 30 years. So, you know, they're awesome. They're very supportive of him and his recovery, and our insurance is excellent. And they've been calling the health advocate. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
But I want to ask you this. So what do you need a decision on whether or not to get a nurse, or do you want to have a decision on what type of nurse or physical therapist you need? What precisely do you need God to give you an answer on right now?
Right now, I need the type of nurse, who the nurse is going to be, that I can have confidence, security, and trust that when I leave this place, that he's still in the hands of the I am that I am through that nurse.
Okay.
And,
let's walk this through. Come on. I want us to walk this through. This is going to be a few-step journey, but we'll be okay with this. So here's what you need. I want to ask you, just answer my questions as quickly as you can, because I don't want to lose my train of thought. And sometimes when you give me too much information, you take my thought off. So just answer my questions. No, that's okay. But here's what I want to ask. So have you started interviewing nurses?
I am waiting for a call back. Not yet on the interview.
Okay. So you haven't started interviewing. So we need to come up because we have to do things step by step. So we want to start. You're obviously waiting for, and obviously you're waiting for an interview to interview a physical therapist. Is that right?
Yes, also.
Okay. Now, have you put out feelers? For example, are you holding resumes in your hand, or are you holding recommendations in your hand, or anything like that?
No, I'm not. I actually scheduling associate from the healthcare facility just finally called me today.
Good. Okay. Here's why I'm saying this, because I can, you know, prayer is a wonderful thing, and I can pray, but remember, we need prayer plus wisdom, and so I want to say this. I'm going to pray for you, Christine, that God will put just the right person over your husband, because I share your concerns. Trust me, I do. I share your concerns, but I also want you to balance in your decision-making, because you've had a trauma, sweetheart. This has been hard for you, and you have been literally traumatized. So don't think that my answer is ignoring that. But I want you to take into consideration, which you apparently have, or otherwise we wouldn't be talking, that trauma can make us sometimes more spiritual than we need to be. You're grateful to God. You are so grateful to God that, I mean, God can ask nothing of you right now that you won't do. You're going to do anything he wants. But I want you to start coming back over to who you were, because you are a very, very clear and very decisive woman. I want you to come back over there, and I want you to say, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'm interviewing X amount of nurses. These are the things I'm looking for. I want you to write down to God, God, these are the answers that I want. And I don't want to know them. Nobody needs to know them but you and God. But you're going to need them to say 5 or 10 things for you to know that that's the one that God sent. Okay? Because you know what you want. And it's not just, but I want them to love Jesus and all of that. Because a lot of crazy people love Jesus, all right? He loves them too, you know, so that can't be enough. A lot of disturbed people, a lot of angry people, a lot of incompetent people nevertheless love the Lord. And so, but make sure that they're the one God chose. And don't have all of your attributes be totally, what do you call it, spiritual. Don't do that. You want a practical nurse. You want somebody who is good at their job, who loves doing what they do. We want you to love the Lord. We want you to be saved, because you're going to be praying, and you want somebody who's going to be praying with you. You don't want anybody going contrary to your prayers. So you want that. But you have to be specific and have a good mix of spiritual and professional criteria that you expect them to present to you, and go through it just like that, whether it's the nurse, the physiotherapist, whatever. And then make sure that in the midst of it all, your husband is able to say, yay, amen. So do it together. Because, you know, he's the one that's got to be handled by this person. And, of course, you'll do your check-in. I think your wisdom of wanting to get a nurse and knowing that his time is hers right now. I want to say, too, also, the Lord needed your husband to stop doing something to hear him, to change in his life. Now, I don't know what that is right now. I probably could if I wanted to give this a lot more time, but I don't think if I knew it that it would be useful to you to even hear it today, because you just need your man back on his feet, and you need your life back in your hands, and that's clear to me. But make sure you do those 10 points and make 5 spiritual, 5 professional. You know exactly what you want, and you and God team up on this. But please make sure that it's something that's doable. In other words, don't just base it on your pet passions, because sometimes our church passions and our spiritual passions are wonderful, but that's where they belong, you know? Sometimes we need to have are practical passions. And a lot of us as Christians don't always develop a good set of practical passions that help us navigate the situations of life. And so I'm just telling you that God has already got the person. The reason God is making you go this way is because God really does want you to know how to team up with him. And
Amen.
Not assume how he's going to do something. Because it's easy for us when we're smart, like you are. You're smart, you're experienced, you're accomplished. You and God, hey, you go back. You and God go way back. I mean, come on, you understand God. That's why this took you for a loop. Because you're like, wait a minute, holy God. But God wants you to be able to team up with him on hard things. And you are fearless, lady, so you're going to be able to do it this way rather easily. So that's part of what he's going to get out of this in your life. He's going to do it. Your husband is going to hear the sound of God's voice like he has never heard him before. He's going to hear him. He's going to comprehend him. That dull spot that he had is going to be gone, and he and God are going to roll in a very different way. You're going to love it. Sometimes our prayers are answered in weird ways. I won't go in detail, but I believe you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes our prayers are answered in weird ways.
Yes, I do understand. I appreciate everything you're saying, and I'm taking it very, very lovingly weighted. And I know you understand that.
I do. And I don't want to, because see, in situations like this, I'm very careful, Christine, about the words I choose, because my words have great power. And I know that, so I don't want to use anything cavalierly or casually that can tie up your matters. I want your matters to go forward. So I'm sending forth the arrow of light to pierce the darkness on this thing for you, that God begins to pierce the darkness that's been standing between you and the solution. I dissipate that thing by the Holy Ghost. I right now breathe a new strength and a reviving strength in your spirit and in your soul. I know that you have been praising God nonstop, but you're right. You need a release. And so I'm asking God to send your release, and I'm asking God to cause you to know when he sends it, because you have been traumatized. What people don't understand is that you took as much of a blow as your husband did. Your soul was blown away with this. And so I'm asking God to come in and to bring your soul back into wholeness, to take the trauma out, to take that terror out that you can't believe it, because you have a great testimony, but let's be real, it was still a blow. So I'm asking God to heal your soul, to heal your spirit, even through the songs you sing tonight, even through your prayers tonight, as you begin to worship him the way you do. That sweet sound that you sing when you're just moving around your house, it's a very soft sound that you sing with God. God likes that. As you do that, the Holy Ghost says to tell you, as you begin to sing that same sweet song, it's very melodic and he loves it, he says, I'm going to breathe in you a fresh wind, and it's going to bring you back online, because you are like, God, I can't stay down too long. So he's going to give you that. Rest assured, it's going to go well. Your husband is going to do fine. Obviously, you know that, otherwise we wouldn't be talking. But I want you to understand that right now you are going to have to do something you absolutely hate, and that is lay up in God's arms. You have been a diligent soldier, a diligent minister, and a diligent warrior and leader for a long time. You're able to handle it, but for a season, you're going to have to lay back in his arms.
Amen.
And you're going to have to delegate. And you know how you don't like to do that, but you're going to have to delegate. Okay? Because you can't do it all, sweetheart, not heal. The most important thing you can do with God right now is hear his mind on all of your future. That's what God wants. And you have write it in your journal. You want to put it on your recorder, and you're also going to see it in the Word. God wants you to hear him, because this next season of your life is going to be tremendous. And I hear the Holy Ghost say explosive. And you all have to be geared up, not just physically for it, and not just spiritually, but you have to be geared up for it psychologically. Meaning, you have to manage the different ebbs and flows and waves of change, and I mean good change, not just all the other stuff, but I mean really good change in your life. But you're going to have to trust him on this. He's not going to let it fall. He's not going to let you fail. He's going to do it, and he knows that you're a superwoman. He made you, so he already knows that, so you don't have to prove that to him any longer. He's cool with that, okay? You can literally let God bring you back online as his daughter.
Hallelujah.
I know it's a challenge for you because you've been through so much, and you want to show him two things. I see you just like, you're like holding everything in your hands. I got this, Daddy. I can do this. This won't fall. That won't fall. I got this, Father. It's going to happen. Okay, Lord, I got but God said, let me carry it. And I, by the way, while I'm carrying it, let me carry you because I got this. He wants to rebuild you. You're going to be an amazing woman. Your testimony is going to be awesome. I speak healing. I right now accelerate your husband's recovery by the Spirit of the living God. I dispatch the word of recovery to him, and I assign the angels of recuperation to his life, and I expedite his return to wholeness and wellness by the Spirit of the living God. And I do it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Be made whole, man of God. And then we open you up to the right help and the right assistance and the right therapist so that you can rest in peace, as you just said, because God said, I need you home worshiping me.
Amen.
He misses that. I don't know how y'all did it, but apparently you struck heaven because he misses it. And so he wants you to be able to do that and to expect good things from your life from now on.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your husband in his hands. So I hope that helped you out a little bit. I wanted to. I could see the you know, it's kind of like this is one of those bittersweet things. The beauty of how God is bringing you all back online is overshadowing the trauma and the tragedy that has happened. It's going to be good for you and your family, Kristen.
Yes, amen.
And if it wasn't, you know I'd tell you. But it's true. Hallelujah. Let me pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for sparing this man's life and for your wisdom, Lord Jesus, in bringing him back online. Lord, better than he's ever been, but a yielded vessel that's committed to you and trusting you, and Lord, that hears you as the son you made him to be. God, I thank you for taking him back to even when he was 7, 8 years old and his childlike faith and trust. God, I thank you for bringing him back to those days and causing that to come alive in this man as he relies on you every day for the breath he takes and, Lord, for the movements that he's able to make. I thank you, Father God, and I'm asking that we would find and dispatch right now out of your own personnel file the right nurse, the right therapist, and the right practitioners to finish this man's recovery. I thank you for it. I thank you for Christine. Lord, I thank you that you heal her heart, that you strengthen her soul and her spirit. Lord, that she can relax and that you bring her online in truth, that it doesn't even have to be a matter of positive confession, just simply, I'm in his hands. Lord, let her know what it's like to be in your hands and to rest on her father's chest and to know that you've got this. And God, I thank you for how well and how rapidly you're going to nurture her for her next assignment and them for their next season in you. I release everything they need, God, and I release the care and the concern and the cuddling of the Holy Spirit on their lives from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So keep me posted. Okay, I
want to
know. Keep me posted here.
All right, yes, ma'am. And can I can call in and have one of your advisors assist me with the five spiritual goals and the five practical?
You can, and when you call in, they'll assign you to one who has heard this call and know what you're going to do. And you can do it as often as you want. You don't have to walk this journey alone.
Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. I thank you. Thank you so much,
welcome.
And the Lord will increase your ministry as well. I know he will.
Yes, he will, and you know why? Because there are people like you who are praying for me like I'm praying for you. So I thank
Amen.
You God
well,
bless.
We're in this to win it together. We're family, you and me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
All
Lord
right.
bless
you. Take care.
Thank
okay.
you, Doctor.
Mm-hmm. All right, who's next?
All right, Dr. Price, we're going to take a 35-second break. You
Ooh,
get a swallow of water. And for those of you who are listening, Dr. Price is going to be in the Joliet area, in the Chicago area, this month on the 18th, the weekend of the 18th and 19th, actually, and the 21st, I believe. And so here's a quick 35-second promo to give you that information. So if you're listening, you have something to write or enter the information, you're in that area or the surrounding areas, the state, we're driving up with her. She's flying, we're driving. You can drive, too. So take a moment to listen to this, and we'll be right back for one more prayer request.
You are invited to join Dr. Paula Price in the Chicago area, April 19th and 21st, at Antioch Christian Assembly, where she will be celebrating Presiding Apostle Nona Parker in honor of her 13 years in ministry. That's Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m., and Sunday, April 21st at 2 p.m. For more information, contact Antioch Christian Assembly International at 815-727-0122 or email info@antiochcaci.org.
All right, and I also want to say that Dr. Price will be in Memphis, Tennessee the weekend after that, so be on the lookout for more information with Dr. Daphne Rankin and her ministry. Dr. Price, in the last about 7 minutes or so that we have, I hope I get this right. Aixa,
yes,
from New York. She is calling. Is that right?
That's right.
Oh, good. She is calling. She wants some direction to remain in the will of God for her life.
Well, hello, Aixa.
Hello. Good morning. Yes.
Good morning to you.
There have been a lot of shifts in my life, period, whether it's my job, it's my home, it's my church as well. So I just want to make sure that I'm staying within the will of God and that I am in the right direction.
Well, I tell you what, I'm so glad you called me today, Aixa, because I can tell you the first thing God said to me about you is tell her, get poised for blessing.
Amen.
You know, God has moved a lot of things out of your life because when he sends in something new, it's kind of like getting new furniture. You know, I'm going to buy this new living room set, you say to yourself. And so you go out and you buy the new living room set. Now, there was nothing wrong with the old one. It might have just been dated. You might have just wanted to change your color scheme. It doesn't matter why you did it. But you bought a new living room set. The first thing you must do is what, Aixa?
Got to keep it clean.
You got to get rid of the old.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, old ways of doing things, old ways of looking at life, old ways of just, even in your case, old reliances. You relied on a lot of things that can't carry you into the next wave of your life. And so God is literally telling you, I am clearing the path for the blessing. Because God told you 7 years ago that he had a particular thing he was going to do in your life. You were going to go through a major shift to get there, but that you would get it. And you were praying and you were praying and worshiping God and, you know, oh, Lord, when is it going to get better? Oh, Lord, I said it. I see, I don't know if you're doing it literally or what, but I see you going through journals or little notebooks or something, maybe the way you use in church, about things that God said, because God talks to you. God talks to you a lot. And so I just hear the Holy Spirit saying, let me finish clearing the path and clearing the way for the new things that I'm bringing into your life, the new ways, the new waves, and the new relationships and friendships, so that the opportunities that you have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for can finally happen. Your life was too crowded. It was just too crowded with good deeds, good ideas, and really dated ways and dated activities that started when you got saved or early in your walk with Christ, and God said, but I want you to move up to the next level. I want to mature you. And so I'm maturing you by changing the guards of your life. I'm changing the spiritual guards. I'm changing the angelic guards of your life. I'm changing the ministerial guards of your life. I'm changing all of the guardians of your life, because those that you had before got you to where you are. But it's time now, says the Holy Ghost, for you to get new guards. And so part of that angst you feel inside is because you feel like you've got all of these new things around you. You do. You have new spiritual forces around you. You're in a new spirit in Christ. And God said all of that is so that I can answer the prayer that I told you I would answer. You've come upon your window. The one thing I hear God saying to you is be alert. Be vigilant. Keep praying for this thing to be fulfilled. Instead of dreading another upheaval, pray that everything that God needs to set up happens. Pray in what needs to be prayed in, and pray out and bind up what doesn't need to be. And so the Lord says, even though it's unsettling, you're going to laugh. I can see you laughing right now. You are going to laugh at what God has done.
Amen.
Hard for you to think right now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, but trust me, I don't miss. And this one here, this is a good thing. And because, see, one of the things I said about you, you're a loyal woman, but you're also committed. The thing is, though, God said, but you like to plot a course, and you don't want to get off of it. So he has to do father with you. He has to do sovereign with you. He's got to step in. And I'll tell you a secret. That is me 100%. If I'm on a course, I'm going to stay on that course, and God has to literally reach down his hand and say, you know what, I need to shift this. Now, he's told us he's going to do it. We'll get a dream. We'll get a prophecy. We'll get a scripture that keeps jumping out at us, however what. But you like order, and you like things manageable. And God said, but I need you to be able to manage something larger. And it's going to be good. Have you taken my assessment?
I have not.
Well, do me a favor. Take that.
Okay.
You'll get two things coming out of it. You'll know what God is doing in your life. You'll understand how he uses you to get done, to participate in your future readiness. But you'll also get an opportunity to speak to one of our prophet advisors so that you can get more insight on the things that I'm talking about. But trust me, you, my beloved, have a very bright future. It is going to be so good for you in Jesus' land in a little while. You're going to call and you're going to talk to me and you're going to laugh. Because God is excited about having gotten you right where he needs you to be to begin to pull off what he wants to pull off in your life. And he has to play his hands close to the chest because you're going to help him otherwise. And he doesn't want your help. So everything to you seems like you're caught by surprise. Are you still there?
I'm still here. I'm listening.
Okay. Well, that's all I can tell you. I could give you a lot more things, you know, where I should go, whatever. I'm telling you, this, you're in the boat. I see you in this little boat. The water's in trouble. But I also see that you are in control, and you're more in control than you want to be. So let me just pray for you, because I understand you want things to be manageable. And I hear God saying, I've got this in control. You're going to do well. I don't even know what you look like, but I see a woman with the prettiest teeth, and I know that that's laughter. That is laughter. And I mean, those teeth are sparkling and they are laughing. And I know that in a little bit, as difficult as it seems right now, your daybreak is going to be beautiful. Father God, I thank you for Aixa. I thank you for who she is. I thank you for her life, her stand. But most of all, God, I thank you that she's your child and she knows it. I thank you, Lord, that she has been one of those that you've even had to cut the apron strings from in a lot of ways. And I just see, you know, you having to cut her from those apron strings so that she can stand on her own, believe in her own heart, believe in her own testimony, and get the testimony you need for her, and believe in your word, hope in her God. God, I thank you that this woman has stood this long, but now, Lord, I'm thanking you that you would lift off of her despair and dejection, that you would lift disappointment off of her, so that she can get ready to get geared up for the next thing you have for her. I'm glad I had a chance to talk with her because, God, the spirit of despair is a lie. I command you to loose her and let her go. And this cloudiness, I reverse and turn into clarity for you. And Lord, I thank you that you expedite the restoration phase of this plan for her life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Dr. Price.
You're going to do well, beloved. Keep me posted. Do that assessment so you can talk to these prophets here. But it's going to work out well. Trust me on this word.
Yes, ma'am.
God bless you.
God bless.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Well, praise the
Lord.
Well,
Prophet Ashley, are you still there with me?
I'm here. I'm getting the juice.
I love it. Am I out of time?
Yes, you are. You landed right on time, I should say. And so we're
going
to a prophetic forum ad so everybody can get the information and hear that. And then we'll be off to another week.
Well, I want to say one thing. To all of you who called, again, I want to say bless you. I ask God to meet your needs this week, to deliver to you everything that you need. I ask him to literally dispatch his angels on all sides. I speak to the angels that are guarding your life right now, the angels of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I accelerate their movement in your life. I put them on divine assignment to achieve every purpose God has for you this week. I break you through in every arena. I expect testimonies. I expect powerful testimonies because God says this is the week of the saints, and he's doing something different this week because this is the week of the saints of the Most High God. You all be excited because it's going to get better for you than it's ever been in Jesus' name. God bless you. Talk to you next week.
Amen.
Do you love listening to Dr. Price live but wish you could see her in person? Well, we'd like to invite you to the Tulsa Prophetic Forum, June 27th through 29th. This dynamic prophetic event goes beyond your typical ministry conference, bringing prophets and prophetic types together to develop, train, equip, and empower. Early bird registration is $99 for individuals and runs through May 15th. For more information or to register online, visit tulsapropheticforum.wordpress.com or call 877-419-1299. We'll see you there.